This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. His name is Matt Jones. He's 35, based in Ypsilanti. Matt Jones has been writing songs and performing around Michigan over the past 15 or so years, drawing a growing audience of fans and critics. And his story is one of making music and overcoming personal demons and finding salvation in the thing he loves best, which is making music.
On the trembling lips of age, 15 years have gone, I sing the same. While the words have slowed their rumbling, I prefer you for got my name. And let me walk alone, and let me swallow whole all the children whisper when they fall in love.
That's Matt Jones singing The Darkest Things. Matt joins us now in the studio. Good to meet you. Good to have you here at Stateside, Matt.
Definitely good to meet you.
Well, just to get started, I'm always interested in how an artist describes his or her music. So, Matt, what's your description of the music you make?
It's gone through a lot of changes, really. I get really bored really fast with what I'm doing. So it gets kind of tough sometimes to categorize it. I wish I could, because you get asked that all the time.
Sure.
But at times I've kind of felt like it was more along the classical lines, just with some pop vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I would have called it folk sometimes. Sometimes it's rock. I'm really getting into synthesizers right now, so who knows where it's going to go next. But that's the hardest question there is. And as you start getting listeners, you find yourself to kind of ask them what you sound like.
Yes.
You know, you ask your audience, you know, what am I doing? What is this?
And what do you hear from them when you ask that?
There's some labels like indie folk, mm-hmm. just folk music. I mean, anytime somebody sees an acoustic guitar, it's folk music.
We kind of know it's really more than that.
Yeah, I would hope so.
A little too convenient pigeonhole, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, and I know when I was exploring your music, and you've got some string work. There's a gorgeous cello in there.
Oh.
There's like lots of interesting elements. But when I read about your roots, and I hear somewhere you played sousaphone when you were a kid in school.
Yeah,
I had to love that as a former French horn player. It's nice to hear that the sousaphone players grow up and branch off into lots of different kinds of music.
Yeah, the low brass people. They always do something a little interesting.
And ragtime piano, I hear you're good at.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I started that when I was 8 years old and did it for 15 years, pretty much just straight ragtime. And it's carried over, definitely, now in the arrangements that I make for the music. And also, I just got a piano in my house for the first time in 20 years, which is really, really nice, and just driving people insane.
Because it's always calling
right,
you.
It's always. And at first people are always like, that's really novel, a ragtime. Oh, wow, it's so fun.
And then
by the second day of na-na-na-na-na-na, there's just.
I have to ask, how does an 8-year-old Michigan kid get into ragtime? Where did that come from?
I heard somebody else play it at a piano recital when I was about to go up and play my little simplified Bach piece.
That we all...
I heard another student play it, and I was just totally enamored with it from the start. And my dad was a big fan of the movie The Sting. And, you know, just...
A lot of Scott Joplin.
I love history, and so it all melded together. And it's just so much fun.
Well, it sounds like you do have kind of your own, the beat of your own drummer marching in your head, and then you're finding ways to express
right,
that.
Slowly.
I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Matt Jones. He's based in Ypsilanti and has been performing really around Michigan for quite a few years, drawing a growing audience of fans and critics, and we wanted to bring his music to you. You do have that folk feel, Matt, but you went through an electronic period, and now I kind of hear you're kind of maybe meandering your way back to acoustic, but now I hear synthesizer's going to be
The synthesizer's a pipe dream right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just kind of checking them out, but I just haven't made enough money to really buy anything I want yet.
But you're hearing what you want to do.
I think
that has to be a journey that every musician has to follow on, and the balance you have to strike, that people get to know earlier material and they really want to hear that when you perform. But then at the same time, there's part of you that wants to break some new ground.
Sure. It's tough. I mean, like I said before, like you, if you don't ask your audience, you know, what they think. Or if you don't pay attention to whether they like you or not, then you're just trying to be a little too hardcore. Mm. And I never buy that. I mean, people play shows for a reason. And, you know, the reason is to get their music to people. And you, how could you not pay attention to what they're saying back to you? So if they start liking something you're doing, it's tough to change. Mm-hmm. You know, it is tough. Even if it's five people or just your family. You don't want your family to walk out of the room.
No, you don't want that. In fact, that made me wonder, as a writer, really more than a performer, what is it like to go from sitting in your living room, writing and singing and creating, to being out somewhere and having bodies in front of you and sending it out and wondering how it's going to come back? What's that like?
I think that once I step on stage, there's no... I've never been a performer like a Bruce Springsteen or something who just, you know, I've never fed off the audience like that. I'm just trying to get over my own nerves enough to get through my set.
Now, you've been doing this for how long? How long have you been performing in public?
Performing my own songs. Yeah. Only my own songs for only 10 years, but in bands for about 17 years or so.
Amazing. And so after a decade of performing your own songs, it still makes you nervous?
Oh, my God.
Which I guess, you know, I have read statements from very, very famous actors who talk about going, especially theater, going out on stage. And if you're not nervous, they say, time to hang it up.
Yeah, right.
You feel that way? So the nerves kind of juice it along?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So, I mean, I can't be out there like having this intimate conversation with my audience when inside I'm just like burning up, you know, with nerves. And I'm a worrier. I'm a stress ball.
You're a stress ball.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
It's because it's my stuff. It's because I worked on it. It's because I wanted to perfect it. It's because I'm trying to get something out that I'm actually feeling. And it's not just like singing a song about, you know, an ex-girlfriend on a Saturday night, you know, or hanging out at the beach. You know, it can trip you up sometimes. You know, you can try to be a little too deep sometimes or something. But, you know, so when you get on stage, you want to channel whatever it was that was there when you wrote the song. Mm-hmm. And if you don't channel it, you feel like you didn't do a good enough job.
Okay.
And so I just worry about not doing a good enough job.
All right. And doing the material justice since
it's
coming out of your heart.
Yeah.
Matt Jones, you had to wrestle with some personal demons. You released an album in 2009, and then came 2010, and what happened?
2009, an album came out, and I think I really started to suffer a little bit from a little big fish in a little pond syndrome, which can really tear you up.
That's interesting, because you got a lot of critical praise for that first album.
I did a couple of tours, and just felt like somehow because people liked it, and then you start feeding off the sort of superficial relationships you have with people sometimes in the right places or the wrong places, and you just kind of feel like you have a right to do anything. And one of those rights is to completely get self-destructive if you have to, through alcohol, through, you know, bad diet, through stress, through, you know, financial problems, through drugs, through anything. And so, I don't know when that gets written into your constitution, but I know it's right after everybody starts saying how cool you are.
And you know what? Think about it. That's a story that we have seen played out.
Over and over.
Over and over and over. That's amazing that how that happened. So was 2010 pretty much kind of a lost year for you?
Right. It's completely lost. And I mean, one night I was pretty drunk, crashed my vehicle into a post, and then, you know, had to start going through the court system and things like that, and like was on probation for a while and had a really tough PO, and he just scared the bejesus out of me.
Which maybe was a good thing.
It was a good thing. And, you know, I can't say I came dancing out of the probation office at the end of it, you know, like I'm free, you know, not at all, but it just helped me calm down and realize that I just need to learn how to live with things that can throw me off track. And they're incurable, but you can find ways to deal with them. And, you know, it's not so black and white. You're not good or bad. You're not stressed out or chilled out. You're like the title of my last record. Mm-hmm. You're kind of half poison and half pure. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
So when you talk about you can find things to work that out for you, is it music?
One of them, yeah. Another one is just to stop talking sometimes and to just realize there's other things in my life besides the things that stress me out that I really enjoy doing, and I forgot about all of those.
Here's Matt Jones and Misty Lynn performing for us his newest song, The Darkest Things.
Chasing boyhood kings while dodging wild pendulum swings. Darker angels remind me that I am destined for the darkest things. So don't forget my name, and don't forget my voice, and don't forget the golden boy who loved to sing.
How has that whole experience of having to fall apart, the wheels came off the wagon and you had to get up and put the wheels back on the wagon and get it back on track. How has that informed the songs you're writing now?
Well, the newest song I have, The Darkest Things, that was, you know, I think when I was worrying all the time, when I was going a mile a minute all the time, I was trying to write songs that were the same way, just really stressed out songs, really complicated. It was like just math equations, and you know, watching it, you'd be like, wow, look at that guy. Look what that guy can play. Well, he can sing really high, you know, like, but the message wasn't there. And then one day, I was complaining to Misty, actually, about...
And Misty is?
Misty Lynn is, she sings with me in a band called The Reconstruction. Also sings with me a lot when we just play as a duo.
Okay.
And she has her own band called Misty Lynn and the Big Beautiful that I played drums with. And, but she was like, you know, why don't you just try writing a simple song? Why don't you just chill out and just write a simple melody, skip the finger picking, give people a song they can take home, you know, and know without having to consult a thesaurus what you're talking about. And so I did. I'm not sure how it came, but a melody came. And then a simple chord progression came, and I had to resist just twisting all those things into something really weird. But in the end, I had a song that was better, the best song I think I've ever had. So now, being the worrier that I am, I'm trying to figure out how to do it every time, and if I can't, I'm going to go crazy.
So that's the next mountain to come.
Yeah.
You know, it is... It's interesting when you read the writings of people about their writings. I've just gotten done Pete Townsend's autobiography. Mm-hmm. And to the people looking at performers and going, oh, boy, they're getting paid to sing. But there's a lot of – there are a lot of demons that need to be wrestled down to be able to really rip down in there and express something. Who do you admire as far as singer-songwriters? Whose writing makes you go, wow?
Well, you know what? I mean, I wish I didn't. Well, I guess I don't wish I didn't listen to as much local music as I do, but that's it for me. And so I can definitely say that Misty Lynn's songwriting is some of the best I'll ever hear. Another friend that I also play with a lot, Chris Bathgate, who's a local favorite around here, his music is just incredible. And because there's so much there and he's hardly saying anything while telling you. And it's just, you sit there and you're just mystified by it. How does he get that message across? He said five words, but it's in the whole song. It's not just the lyrics anymore. It's got to be everything.
I get the feeling as we talk on Stateside to other musicians from Michigan, that the Michigan music scene, people pretty well support each other and cheer each other on. Just what you're doing, you're being very generous, saying, listing other names. Is that sense of collegiality very much present on the Michigan music scene?
I think it is. You know, for that whole year that I was going off the deep end, I sort of made myself kind of an outcast to that and many other things for that period. But, you know, since and before, yeah, definitely. Like, the support is there. Everybody finds a way to weasel into everybody else's project, and it's great. You know, just one day you'll turn around and, you know, there's, you know, somebody from Frontier Ruckus playing in that band. Or, look, there's Michael Beauchamp. You know, like, it's just, it's pretty interesting. And I would hope that everybody else, everywhere else, has this experience. But if they don't, that's okay, too. I'm happy we have it.
What would you define as success for you as a singer-songwriter? Would it be continuing to build your base in Michigan, or would it be moving to even a wider audience that and branching out of Michigan? Mm-hmm. Or is it just feeling good when your band, playing with your band, and even no one's there?
I think it's the years that's doing this to me. I know I'm still a young man, but at 35, having done this for a while, success is really just starting to feel like I can go day to day, and I can, at the end of the day, I can be pretty sure that I didn't do anything that I didn't believe in or wasn't sure of. And if I have a big audience or a small audience, really all I want is for every day to be all right. Like, that's it. And I mean, huge audiences, great. That's great, but that's not going to last. And so I just really hope I have something good to come home to when it's over.
Matt Jones, and we have put links to some of Matt's songs up on our website at michiganradio.org. You've had two CDs out. Is there something in the works for number three?
Yeah, there's I'm just putting it together now, a lot of demos. Probably start recording in July with Jim Roll out at Backseat Productions. So, yeah, right now it looks like it's going to be something small, acoustic, but you talk to me in 2 months, it could be all sousaphone.
There we go. We'll watch for that. Matt, it's great to meet you. Thank you so
Definitely.
Much for coming.
I want to say that it is an absolute honor to be on your show and Michigan Radio. Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. Let's go out with another new song from Matt Jones. It's called The Friends I'm Thinking Of, and it's performed exclusively for us in our studios. And we have put a link to that on our website at michiganradio.org. Just search for Songs from Studio East.
Scared in 10 years. Broke because I'm lazy and scared I'll disappear. Attention that come to love, it's made me tear at my reflection and curse the friends I'm thinking of.